Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really getting into a book that didn't just sell well, it genuinely shifted how we think about, well, human potential. Daniel Goleman's Emotional Intelligence.
Oh, this is such a great topic. And Goleman's work, it really tackles this fascinating question, doesn't it? You know the type. Super smart people, high IQs, great test scores.
Yeah.
But then in life, maybe in their careers or relationships, they just seem to struggle sometimes.
Totally. I know exactly who you mean. Technically amazing, maybe, but just awkward socially. Mm-hmm. Or they crumble under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the opposite, right? Someone maybe not top of the class academically, but they just navigate life so smoothly.
Yeah.
Leading teams, building fantastic relationships.
Exactly. And that's what we want to get into today. Sort of a shortcut to understanding why that gap exists. Society, for ages, has put such a premium on just raw intellect, IQ.
Right.
And things like emotional skills, social skills. They were seen as, I don't know, nice to haves. Optional extras.
Yeah.
Goleman shows us they're actually fundamental. They're the hidden engine, really, for achievement, happiness, leadership.
It's a message that feels even more relevant now.
Okay.
With everything demanding more collaboration, more resilience.
Mm-hmm.
But before we unpack the big ideas, let's talk about the author, Daniel Goleman. His background is pretty impressive.
It really is. He's got the academic chops, PhD in psychology from Harvard. But the really unique thing, I think, is his background as a science journalist.
So the New York Times, right? For a long time.
Yeah, and an award-winning one. So he wasn't just in an academic bubble. He could understand the complex stuff, the neuroscience, the psychology research.
But also explain it.
Exactly. Translate it into language that, you know, everyone could grasp. Make it compelling.
So he didn't invent the term emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Solovey and Mayer.
That's right. But Goleman was the great synthesizer. He pulled together all these different research threads from brain science, from business studies, education, and wove them into this single powerful framework. He gave us the vocabulary, really.
Yeah, way to actually talk about these crucial skills.
Mm-hmm.
He really bridges that world between like deep academic findings
mm-hmm.
and how you actually use this stuff in business, in your own life.
He didn't just analyze success. He kind of gave us a map for getting there ourselves.
Okay, so let's dive into the core of the book. What's the big idea?
Well, fundamentally, Goleman's saying we need to rethink what smart even means. His premise is that our emotional brain isn't just some background noise. It's constantly shaping our decisions, our reactions, often jumping in before our logical brain gets a chance.
So the main argument, the thesis, is that this emotional intelligence, or EQ, this ability to first, know your own feelings, understand them, manage them,
mm-hmm.
and then also to tune into and navigate other people's emotions effectively. That EQ is actually a better predictor of success and, well, just a fulfilling life than your IQ score.
And here's the really hopeful part, I think. Unlike IQ, which tends to be relatively fixed after, you know, your teenage years,
right.
EQ isn't set in stone. It's learnable. Mm-hmm. You can actually practice and improve these skills throughout your entire life. Our brains can change neuroplasticity.
It's huge, isn't it? That ability to change. And he breaks EQ down into five core skills, these sort of pillars that build on each other. What are they again?
Okay, so the five are self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. And crucially, they're sequential.
Sequential. How so?
Like, you really need self-awareness first. That's the foundation. You can't regulate an emotion if you don't even realize you're feeling it.
Got it. Okay, so Goleman takes us inside the brain a bit to explain why these emotions are so powerful. He talks about having two minds.
Yeah, basically the rational mind, the thinking part in the neocortex, and the emotional mind, which is faster, more primal, seated in the limbic system.
And the amygdala is key here, right? The brain's sort of emotional alarm system.
Exactly. It's the sentinel. And when it spots a potential threat, real or perceived, it can trigger this massive instant reaction before the thinking brain even gets the message. Goleman calls this the amygdala hijack.
That's that moment you snap at someone.
Yeah.
Or send that angry email you wish you could take back.
Precisely. It's a fight or flight response kicking in. Super useful if you're facing a predator. Maybe less useful in a stressful meeting or a family argument.
He uses that famous case study too, right? Phineas Gage. to show how vital emotion is.
Oh, yeah, the railroad worker. Mm. It's a tragic but incredibly illustrative story. He had that horrific accident. An iron rod went straight through his head, damaging the prefrontal cortex.
But his IQ, his cognitive abilities, they were okay afterward.
Pretty much intact, yeah. He could reason, remember things, but his personality completely changed. That link between his emotional control and his rational thought was severed.
So what happened?
He became impulsive, unreliable, couldn't hold down a job, his relationships fell apart. He lost that social appropriateness. Gage's story is stark proof that reason without emotional guidance. While it doesn't work in the real world, high IQ becomes almost useless for navigating life.
Wow. So it's not about suppressing emotion, but integrating it.
Yeah.
And you said it starts with pillar one, self-awareness.
Right. Just noticing, recognizing the feeling as it's happening, tuning in what's going on in my body. How is this feeling influencing what I want to do or say next? Knowing what you're feeling is step one.
And once you know what it is, then you can move to self-regulation, which isn't about being emotionless, Ron.
Not at all. Goleman stresses this. It's not about stuffing feelings down. It's actually more sophisticated. He uses this great line adapted from Aristotle, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's something like, anyone can get angry, that's easy. But the skill is being angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right reason, and in the right way. That's hard. That's self-regulation.
Ah, okay. So it's about managing the expression of the emotion constructively, not eliminating the feeling itself.
Exactly, channeling it. Which leads nicely into the third pillar, motivation.
This is about using emotions to push towards a goal, like overcoming impulses.
Precisely. Think about that classic marshmallow test with the kids.
Right. Wait for the second marshmallow.
The kids who could delay gratification, who could manage that immediate impulse for the bigger future reward, they were essentially using emotional skills, regulating desire to stay focused on a goal. That ability to persist, stay optimistic, delay gratification, that's core to motivation.
Okay, so those first three are quite internal. Then we move outward to empathy.
Yes, understanding what others are feeling, putting yourself in their emotional shoes, so to speak.
And Goleman says this builds on self-awareness, too.
Definitely. It's hard to read subtle cues in others, their tone of voice, their body language, which is where so much emotion is communicated, if you're not even tuned into your own feelings.
Makes sense. Which brings us to the final pillar, social skills. This is where it all comes together.
Pretty much. It's about using all the other skills, your awareness, your regulation, your empathy to manage relationships effectively, build rapport, influence people constructively, handle conflict.
Okay, so those are the five pillars. Now, how does this EQ stuff actually play out in, say, our closest relationships?
Goleman draws a lot on John Gottman's marriage research here, and it's fascinating. Gottman found that high IQ couples didn't necessarily have better marriages.
Really? So what made the difference?
It wasn't if they argued, but how. Couples heading for divorce showed these really destructive patterns. Gottman called them the four horsemen. Criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling.
Oof, sounds bad.
It is. Successful couples, though, used their EQ. They used empathy, self-regulation. They knew how to de-escalate, how to make repair attempts during a fight. Their emotional skills were the key to making the marriage work.
That really resonates. And then in the workplace. This is where that famous quote comes in, isn't it?
The classic. IQ gets you hired, but EQ gets you promoted.
It just perfectly sums it up. Your technical skills, your IQ, they might get your foot in the door. They're like the entry requirement.
The threshold competencies, yeah. But once you're in, the people who really excel, the stars, the leaders, they stand out because of their people skills, their empathy with clients, how they work in a team, how they influence and inspire, how they handle pressure without falling apart. That's all EQ.
Okay, but let me push back slightly here. Goleman sounds very optimistic about change.
Yeah.
But we all know leaders, right? Maybe technically brilliant, high IQ, but honestly, kind of toxic emotionally. Does EQ really get you promoted if those people still seem to rise? Is it always possible to change?
That's a really fair challenge. And Goleman acknowledges change is hard. It takes conscious, sustained effort. That toxic leader might actually have high social skill in terms of manipulation, but maybe zero empathy or self-regulation.
Ah, okay. So it's not just one skill.
Right. And the point about change is crucial. It is possible because of neuroplasticity. But it doesn't happen just by reading about it. You have to actively practice. And the stakes are high if you don't. Goleman even links it to physical health.
Right, the mind-body connection, chronic anger, anxiety.
Yeah.
That stuff isn't just unpleasant. It actually impacts your physical health.
Yeah, it can weaken the immune system, increase inflammation. Basically, it puts your body under stress, whereas positive emotions, strong social connections, they seem to be protective.
Yeah.
So managing your emotional life is almost like preventative medicine.
Okay, so if it's learnable and it's vital for relationships, work, health, how do we actually learn it? Especially if maybe we didn't get these skills growing up. Goleman talks about emotional illiteracy in society.
He does. And his answer is pretty systemic. We need to teach it formally, starting in schools through what's now often called social and emotional learning, or SEL.
What does that actually look like in a classroom? Is it just be nice lessons?
Oh, it's much more specific than that. It could be activities helping kids identify and label their feelings with more nuance. Like, what's the difference between feeling disappointed and feeling betrayed, or learning techniques to calm down when feeling overwhelmed?
So giving them the vocabulary and the tools.
Exactly. And the research shows these programs work. Kids in good SEL programs tend to do better academically, have fewer behavioral problems, better relationships. It's about building these foundational life skills early on.
Building a more emotionally intelligent society from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try and distill this down. If you had to pick the absolute core themes from Goleman's work, what stands out most?
For me, the first big one is that perspective shift. Emotions are data, not obstacles. They're not just messy interruptions to our logical thinking.
Right. They're signals, information.
Exactly. Sophisticated guidance telling us something important. Real intelligence means listening to that data and integrating it with our rational thought.
Okay. What's theme two?
It's the idea that EI is the master aptitude. It doesn't just sit alongside other skills. It influences how well we use all our other abilities. It's like a performance multiplier. Goleman argues it predicts life success much better than IQ alone.
My turn. Theme three, I think, has to be empathy as the foundation. It's key for relationships, sure, for leadership.
Hmm.
But Goleman goes deeper, suggesting it's fundamental to morality. Being able to feel with someone else is what stops cruelty and builds connection.
Absolutely critical. And the final theme, number four, is that really hopeful one, the democratizing force of EQ. Because it's learnable, because our brains can change.
Neuroplasticity.
Right. It means improvement is possible for anyone at any stage of life through effort. It levels the playing field in a way that fixed IQ doesn't. Everyone has the potential for growth here.
The book is also full of these really sticky phrases, these memorable lines that just capture big ideas.
Oh, definitely. Like that very first one about our inner world. In a very real sense, we have two minds, one that thinks and one that feels. It just perfectly captures that internal tug of war we all experience.
And the one about anger, the Aristotle one you mentioned, anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, this is not easy. That just defines emotional maturity, doesn't it?
It really does. And of course, the workplace killer. IQ gets you hired, but EQ gets you promoted. So concise, so true for many.
And underpinning it all, self-awareness is the bedrock of emotional intelligence. Can't build the house without the foundation.
Couldn't say it better. Okay, so let's make this super practical. How can people listening apply these ideas, like starting today? Let's think about conflict in a relationship.
Okay, that moment when things start escalating, the amygdala hijack is kicking in. Instead of instantly defending yourself, the EQ move is to practice the pause.
Just stop talking.
Yeah, even for just 3 seconds, take a breath. And in that pause, actively try to understand. What's my partner feeling right now? Are they scared? Hurt, frustrated. Shifting to empathy, even for a moment, can completely change the dynamic.
That's powerful. And professionally, for leaders, especially when things get tough.
A leader with high EQ models self-regulation. They stay calm under pressure, which helps everyone else calm down too. They also know people need to feel heard before they can solve problems. So they validate concerns. I understand you're worried about X before jumping to solutions. Regulate first, then resolve.
Nice. And for parents, that idea of being an emotion coach.
Oh, that's huge. So instead of just shutting down a tantrum, seeing it as bad behavior, you use it as a teaching moment.
Oh.
You help the child name the feeling. Wow, you seem really furious that your tower fell. It does two things. Validates their intense emotion, showing it's okay to feel that way, and it builds their self-awareness, that first pillar. Plus, your calm response teaches them emotions are manageable.
It's teaching them the language of emotions, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, reflecting on all this, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway for you personally?
For me, honestly, it was grasping the sheer speed and power of that amygdala hijack. Realizing our emotional reaction can literally shortcut our thinking brain. It makes training EQ feel less like a soft skill and more like essential maintenance for navigating modern life, where that ancient wiring can sometimes misfire.
Yeah, that's a big one. For me, the most valuable takeaway is just how empowering this whole concept is. Moving from seeing emotions as maybe weaknesses or things to ignore,
right,
to understanding them as these incredibly sophisticated guidance systems, and knowing, because of neuroplasticity, that we can actively work on improving this intelligence, that feels profoundly hopeful and changes how you think about personal growth.
Absolutely. So drawing on Goleman's work, we'll leave you with this final thought to consider. Take a moment today to just assess your own internal emotional climate. What feelings are running the show for you right now? Stress, excitement, maybe boredom. And then ask, are those emotions really steering you towards your deeper goals and values? Or is it time for a little more conscious navigation?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.